going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Is this the song that they were dancing to after Shador got picked in the fifth round and he moved everybody out of the way so he could be seen to the one dancing?
Yes, it's his song.
Who will play more games professionally moving forward? Shador Sanders or MJ Melendez?
you're counting big leaguers, mm-hmm. big league, not minor league at bats, right? You're kind of just in the major leagues.
Games.
See, games, I would definitely say MJ. Yeah, I still think the answer is MJ.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go MJ just because he's got more chances.
Somebody gets hurt, you know, somebody comes up immediately.
Shador went to one of the few teams where he legitimately could play this season.
He could. He absolutely could.
But he could, yeah.
But how do you sell that to Myles Garrett?
Moving forward, who has a longer career in the NFL, Chris Jones or Shador Sanders?
I'm going to go Shador Sanders.
I am going to go Shador, not because I think he's going to be great, but because I think he's a quarterback. And I mean, Deshaun Watson is still playing, for God's sakes.
For now.
Watson! Yes!
Yeah, he's at least a second string, right? I think he can make it as a second string somewhere if he gets his, you know, act together.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like, and Cleveland is, like, the obvious situation would have been here for Shador Sanders. That would have been the perfect situation for him to be able to grow as a human being. Right? You've got a veteran leader in Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. Find me a better head coach than Andy Reid. A situation where you do not have to come in and play at all. A situation where there would be no expectation for you. Come in here, be that sponge, absorb all of that knowledge and the way to be a quarterback in the NFL. Who's he going to be learning from? In Cleveland, who's going to be that mentor that's there, whether or not they want to be a mentor? Joe Flacco at 37 years old, Kenny Pickett, who's never done anything in the league.
Two-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski.
Come on now. I mean, that's just weak right there. Like Shador Sanders needed to go to a situation that was going to show him how to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. Cleveland is not that. And so the majority now is going to be on Shador. Is he going to be a guy that is focused on what he needs to be focused on? Or is he going to be a guy that's focused on hanging out at parties?
I bring up Chris Jones because the Chiefs took a guy out of the University of Tennessee, Norman Lott, interior guy, rotational type of guy, which is what the Chiefs like to do. And Mitch Holtis, who does nothing but talk, eat, breathe, and sleep the Chiefs, had this to say about Norman Lott earlier on the show.
I told you guys I was excited about Friday and Saturday when I was on with you guys Friday morning. And I'll just be honest with you. I was looking for a starting inside tech to go with Chris right away day one. Truthfully, I don't think Norman Lott is that guy, but I think he's possibly a better version with a high ceiling of Turk Wharton. He's a one-gap penetrator guy, high motor. He was a good player at Arizona State. Here's what I like about him. It's always the stories behind. He was a boxer, and you see it because his ability, his quickness, his one-gap snap quickness is really good. Now, he also had some penalties, and he's got a little temper maybe. He got suspended in the Florida-Tennessee game when they had that brawl. But even at Arizona State, when he started I know Bink talked to you about pass rush rate. He hasn't played a lot of snaps, like 20 snaps. But the other reason, a third reason the Chiefs have been so good defensively is they've had literally 8 defensive linemen that they can rotate, mix and match. It's rare at football at any level to have that. Even the best FBS teams don't have that. And so when you have that kind of lineup, Tillery comes into play here, Mike Pinnell, we know what he's been able to do. So you've got a 4-man rotation with those two and then Chris and this guy, and you still have your outside guys.
So Turk Wharton was the comp he kind of gives Norman Lott. I kind of see a lot of hearing a lot of that. I think of Colin Saunders.
Yeah.
High energy, low to the ground, active hands, disruptive, being a boxer. He brings up that as well as his backstory. A guy that's going to be able to move. And I heard Matt McMullen's, report on him. He was one of the highest, pass rushing success rates in college football this year. And hey man, if you can be active on third and long or, whatever it is to kind of go disrupt a quarterback when we need you and you need to be on the field for 7 plays as a rookie and you can be impactful that way,
solid.
Yeah, and if you can just be a rotational guy in this defense, that's really all you need to be in this defense is that rotational guy, because that's what Spags is all about. So I kind of like that. I understand where Mitch is coming from. He wanted that legit day one starter, but when Simmons continues to fall down the board and would have been the best offensive tackle out there had it not been for that knee injury, and you have the opportunity to take a chance on a player, that's why you go ahead and you take that chance on Justin Simmons when you do. In the first round, Chiefs had a luxury at that point in time where they could just take anybody. They didn't really need to fill a position. And so they took a guy that may require a little work, but has the upside to be, you know, one of the best offensive tackles, you know, coming out of the draft if he gets to that point where he's healthy again. And so you have the opportunity to take a chance on that. I understand why the Chiefs did that, but I also understand where Mitch is coming from. Like, I was kind of looking for that day one starter on that defensive line. They didn't necessarily get that guy maybe in Norman Lear.
Another guy that kind of fits the Spag scheme is the guy that Mitch talked about on the other side in the same interview.
Well, I really see him similar as George. I think,
I thought that was on, this is on Jonathan Bassa.
A little bit because he's the tweener guy, right? There's your cliche, but man, he's an athlete. He was a 4-year special teams guy with the Ducks, even though he was a starter, still stayed on teams. You look at his production, it's there, kind of a cover. He can cover, hybrid guy, but at the Senior Bowl, he ran the huddle for the national team. So he became even a Nick Bolton guy. So there's one of your kind of stories behind. He started as a safety, didn't play football till ninth grade. He's helped his sister fight through cancer. So you've got that kind of Pacheco-ish kind of story. But I just think he's a splendid athlete. I think that he can be a sub-down guy. I'm not saying he's Willie Gay Jr., but he's closer to Willie Gay Jr. than some of the other guys we've had since Willie Gay Jr. So I think Bassa's a really good pickup.
So Bassa's the guy from Oregon, outside guy. You got to think about the Chiefs in the future. I think Leo Chenal probably is here because he's not going to be expensive. I think Nick Bolton, we obviously know he's going to be here. And Mitch said that he's a Will linebacker, so weak side linebacker, which is what I believe Willie Gay played as well. And you look at that position, maybe that's where Drew Tranquil's tenure as a Chiefs ends. And when that does happen, in steps this Bassa guy, and all of a sudden your linebacker is patched up for the next 2 or 3 years if it is the end and near sight for one Drew Tranquil.
Well, and that's kind of another way to look at it as well, is it Drew Tranquil's time to move out? And when he was talking about being kind of that captain of the defense and wearing the green dot in the Senior Bowl, that's what I immediately thought, oh, maybe he's going to take over eventually for Nick Bolton in that role. Obviously, it's not the same position that Nick Bolton plays, but in that role of wearing that green dot, being your leader on the helmet. But, you know, you look at Leo Chenal, it's maybe it's getting closer to that time where it's maybe time to move him out, or, you know, whatever the case may be, or Drew Tranquil at that position. Maybe it's time to move those guys out and start getting a little bit younger out there. And if this guy can come in and be Willie Gay Jr., we kind of lost that last year. We missed Willie Gay Jr., I thought, last year, you know?
Yeah, and Drew Tranquil just turned 30, and he's been the coverage linebacker, but it's not like he's going to be able to do that forever. We know Nick Bolton's deficiencies when it comes to tight ends. This is exactly what the Chiefs needed. This is my favorite pick from this weekend's draft.
That's your favorite one?
I think
really?
It's my favorite one. Yeah, I love a sideline to sideline linebacker who can cover tight ends, plug a gap. I mean, this guy's a beast. I think he's going to be a day one impact guy.
What got me excited about Norman Lear was when Mitch talked about blowing up those bubble screens and those, you know, those plays, because 100%. We've seen the Chiefs dominate those plays before where they try to run those little bubble screens and little, you know, passes to the running back out in the flat, and they try to set things up. You got to be able to blow that play up. You got to be quick on your feet. And all the video I saw of your guy, Norman, like that guy looked like he could move, man.
Moves,
like
athletic.
I hate to use the term cat-like quickness because we always want to use that for a big guy, but that guy was getting all over the field in the videos that I saw him.
100%. Well, I think Dusty brought up Colin Saunders. It's a great comp.
Yeah, I think so,
big,
too.
Big athletic guy who can move side to side. A 300-pound frame doesn't stop him from moving.
Norman Lear passed away on December 5th, 2023. Norman Lott was picked by the Chiefs
whoever
the second round. No, because somebody was like,
heard of him.
Does Bob know that he's calling him Norman Lear? I'm like, well, welcome to the show.
But we are on FM now.
Yeah.
816 said, do we feel that we drafted any right away starters in this draft?
No.
Okay.
Say that again.
Do we feel that we drafted any right away starters?
Well, define starter.
Starting opening week
like
one.
Because you look at like the wide receiver, like the Royals kid, right? Let's just take him for example, right?
Yep.
I expect him to be an impact player. Is he a starter?
No, no, he's not the top three. No,
but he's if he's an impact player,
yeah, he's going to play. You know, he will be by week 4 or 5, I think.
You know, the running back that they got in the 7th round probably not going to be your quote unquote. I hate that term starter because they just move so many different guys around. You know,
rotation players going to be playing 50% of the snaps. Is that a starter? I don't know. It's a lot,
but that's half the snaps.
Yeah,
that's a lot of snaps. That's a key part of your, like, the whole is he a starter? That makes to me more sense for baseball, maybe even basketball for a little bit of a level.
Yeah.
Hockey, you're flipping guys in every 2 minutes on line changes. Yeah. Football, you're constantly shuffling guys in and out based on what formation or package you want to use or however you want to approach a team. Like this guy, Royals, may be a starter in week 2 in Brazil against the Chargers, but he wasn't a starter in week 1 at home against the Texans or whatever the case may be. Because they see something in the Chargers that they can exploit versus something that they couldn't in the Texans. I'm obviously just using generic terms and all of that kind of stuff. So the term starter for me, I'm always like, it's nice to see your name on the screen. But I think all of these guys are going to have big impacts for this team.
Red flags, prank calls, and slip sliding away. That's not a, you know, Paul Simon reference, but it should be. We'll get into what those all mean on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
It's kind of interesting. Sometimes the internet listens to you without you knowing it. Group I follow on a golf, it's called the Foreplay Guys. They're from Barstool. It says, what's the biggest red flag for a golf partner? I haven't listened to the audio. I just can't wait to see what they say, because we saw a red flag this weekend. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you did. It's 8 minutes worth your time. But 12 minutes or 12 seconds is where the nuts and bolts came from, the Bill Belichick CBS Sunday morning interview.
Is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson his creative muse, as he writes in his book?
Make sure that's
the... How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
So Shador Sanders steals the show this weekend, and then Bill Belichick says, hold my beer and my holy shirt of Navy.
Right.
And I'm going to do an interview. And by the way, Jordan, my girlfriend, I'm sure you've heard of her, she's going to be here too, and she's going to cut off a lot of your questions, especially the most important one of, how did y'all meet?
Yeah. It's a simple question. Like, people want to know. That's human nature stuff, right?
Especially when you're in that kind
of
a spot.
You tell me and you're like, I started dating this gal, right? I go, oh, where'd you guys meet? Like, it's a normal human question.
Because wasn't the original story they met on a plane?
That's what I heard.
And now it's like, well, no, don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, but tell that story then, if that's how you met. Or did you not meet on a plane and something else you met? So I don't know what the answer to the question is, but who gets defensive? Like, we've been married over 17 years now. People still will say, how did you guys meet?
It's kind of a good story.
It's a normal human question. Oh, that's cool. You guys, hey, how'd you guys meet? Well, my friend fixed us up. She thought, but oh, cool. How'd you guys meet?
Yeah.
Normal question. How'd you guys meet? We're not discussing that.
Tinder. I don't know. I mean, I just
like, was she afraid what he was going to say? Like, is he to that point where you, as a quote-unquote caretaker, if you will, are jumping in because you're afraid of what the answer may be? Because that's what that seemed like.
I don't know. It was just very odd, the whole interview. Because, like, I woke up Sunday morning and I was like, okay, what happened in the world last night? Or did I miss anything? Was there anything that's, like, you know, weird? And then I see this interview that's getting, you know, snid bits and cuts of it. And then I'm like, okay, here's the whole interview of 8 minutes. I'm like, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bill might be cooked.
Yeah.
Because they asked him, like, you know, He loads the question up, and you should just let the guy that you're interviewing have the floor. But he's like, you know, you take pictures, you're a mermaid, you know, you're doing all this stuff, like, which is cool. That's his life. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to go do all that stuff. But, like,
Bill looked like he didn't have a clue as to what that guy was talking about either, you know?
Yeah, that didn't look like the Bill Belichick that I knew. Like, and I don't know him personally, but, like, he's been around sports or football for my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you kind of saw his personality outside of the game this year with, like, you know, McAfee stuff and all that sort of thing. You're like, oh, that's, you know, that's Bill. Okay, mm-hmm. Whatever. And you watch that interview, you're like, there's something off about this.
Yeah.
And again, not my life, not my relationship. If you're happy and you want to do that, go with it. But I gave you the analogy earlier. It's like, you know, you have your buddy, for example, Vip, right? Mm-hmm. Outgoing, very funny, very, you know, light of the party type of guy. He comes over to your house, and the whole time he's there, he has, like, one drink.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say much. And when you leave, you grab by the arm, like, everything all right? And you're like, yeah, okay. And then as soon as the door shuts,
the day Vip has one drink will be the first.
Yeah. And you look at your wife and you're like, something's not right. Something was off about that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And you're like, why does his life matter what you do? Well, he's your friend. Something's not right. Like, this just looks off. Mm-hmm. And somebody might be like, duh, Dusty, she's 24 and he's 74. There's 50-year age gap.
Yeah.
That's one. Two, it's like,
it's hard enough with a 5-year age gap,
yeah.
You know, let alone a 50-year age gap.
Right. And so, like, I know people are going to be, you know, okay, we're tired of talking about it. This is one of the top news stories of this weekend with an NFL draft, a Royals team that wins 5 of 6, and, like, all this other stuff that has happened. And then you look at this whole situation, you're just like, yeah, there's clearly something not right. There's something that's not being addressed that's not there. And you look at all the background story, and we talked about it the other day when, you know, she's on the field and she's wearing the Carolina blue jacket. That's cute. It's fun, whatever. But then she's getting involved with, like, team personnel and right. emails, and then all of a sudden cutting questions off. And you're like, Bill, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but, like, you've been on this earth 50 years longer than this woman. And, like, now all of a sudden, like, you're, like, kind of, like, put back in this, like, glass or this, like, plastic bubble. And it's like, that just doesn't seem like
it. It's almost like she's running the show, right?
Oh,
and look, we've all been there when you're dating somebody, right? Sometimes women adapt and change to the guy they're dating. Sometimes guys will adapt and change to the gals they're dating or whatever. It's called love. You do things weird because you're in love, right? Mm. And so I understand making a few changes and whatnot. As you know, form relationships, you got to give a little to get a little, and it's a give and take type of thing. I don't know why, though, if she's really out for the best of Bill Belichick. A, she allowed him to wear that sweatshirt yesterday.
Was it a sweatshirt or a T-shirt?
Was it a T-shirt? Or I don't know what it was.
It looked like a cutoff T-shirt.
It had
that used
a hole in it. Like,
it looks like the shirt your dad used to change the oil.
Yes, exactly. and then to clean the dipstick, and then he'd put that shirt back on. You're like, what are you wearing? Oh, it's my oil change. Fine. But, like, that's what he kind of looked like. Like, they just, like, rustled him out of bed, put him there, said, put on your best shirt, and he came out with this navy T-shirt with a hole in it. Like, why she allowed him to wear that if she truly is, like, his girlfriend? Like, what are we doing here with
sitting
that T-shirt?
3 feet away.
And then, yeah, the fact that she's there like that, like, you know, she cannot be in control of the football program. He's the guy that's won the 6 Super Bowls. He kind of knows what he's doing out there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need a lot of help doing something like that. So yeah. I just hope for his sake, like, this is what he wants. I mean, it just felt like a weird interview. So you know, you fished like she was a mermaid, and then you held her up in the air like she was on the Titanic, and he had no answers for that. Like, almost like it was news to him.
And he was constantly looking over at her.
And then they asked about, you know, Robert Kraft. He didn't mention Robert Kraft one time in his book.
Not in the eulogy?
No. Oh, not man. In the acknowledgments. No, nothing. They did not mention Robert Kraft in his book. These guys won 6 Super Bowls and spent 24 years together. No matter how it ended, there's got to be something saying, hey, Robert Kraft hired me and gave me, like, not even in the book, but she's in the book.
Mm-hmm. His muse.
Like, I guess I just don't understand that whole situation.
And maybe we're not supposed to.
And maybe not. And that's fine.
But I think we should at least have some sort of conversation about it, because it was like something that happened while we were trying to endure sports and, like, kind of collaborate on the draft. And all of a sudden you're like, why is Bill Belichick trending?
Right.
Why is Jordan trending? He's not played basketball in many years. Oh, it's not that Jordan. It's the girlfriend. And you're like, oh, this interview is weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, I didn't care what Charlie Sheen did, but you better believe it was attention television when he came and did that interview with, what was it, Diane Keaton or whoever it was. And he's like, winning.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And
yeah.
It was like, you watch that. Like, you knew there were red flags in that interview when he's like looking through like a little piece of yarn and talking about tiger's blood. And you're like, I don't care.
Yeah,
what Charlie
did. That was a weird interview.
But
right?
You watched.
You did. Yeah.
And like, you saw Bill Belichick's going to tell all until he's told not to.
Right.
And you're like, really?
And what was the point of that interview? What did we gain from that interview yesterday? Other than to see this weird relationship that Belichick has with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what did we gain? Like, that was not a good look for North Carolina yesterday. The man wasn't even wearing North Carolina gear.
Mm-mm. He just got done changing his oil.
Oh.
So, yeah, I didn't understand that. You talk about the draft this weekend and how we all watched it. The numbers were out. The ratings were out. It was the second highest viewing day of day 2 in the draft's history.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of storylines into that. Obviously, the NFL is just the supreme of everything. But then also, Shedeur Sanders sliding the way he did. You say we've seen this before. I don't know if we've seen it to this severity.
Where players slide?
That far.
He was the
number one overall pick 9 months ago. And then he was in the top three weeks ago. And he went in the fifth round of the same team that everybody thought that was going to draft him. And then the draft board's there, and it looks like it's a silent clap. Like, the owner was like, we're taking him now. It's like, okay, whatever. And it was, from the legendary couch shots to, okay, day two, day three. Day two or round two, round three, this is where he'll fall. Mel Kiper's out here glazing him up. Mm-hmm. All this sort of stuff is going on. And yet, here's Bob Fesco Saturday at noon, appointment television. Has he drafted?
I wanted to see. It kept me interested in the draft through the weekend, which I think it did for everybody based on the television numbers. If Shador's not there, or if Shador's picked on night one, probably day two and day three, you just go about your business, look at a sheet when you get it on who the Chiefs draft, and you call it a day. But, I was watching because I wanted to see. The weather didn't help either. You had really nothing to do with how awful it was weather-wise on Saturday and Sunday. But, you have an opportunity to see where Shador's going to go because becomes a human nature story after a while, right? And I always go back to now, he may have fallen in the eyes of Mel Kiper and the media draft guys. Maybe he went right where he was supposed to go in the eyes of the talent evaluators, because it wasn't like one team passed on Shador. Every team passed on him at least four times. Some teams probably passed on him, I don't know, five, six times with, multiple picks in each round and whatnot. So this guy had plenty of opportunity to be drafted if the talent evaluators thought that he was a guy that should have been drafted. And yes, there are misses in every draft. People will go back to Albert Pujols going in the 10th round of the draft. There are misses in every single draft. It happens. But when everybody's kind of together on this and nobody is willing to take a quarterback that was pretty good on the field in a quarterback star of the league, it tells you there's other things out there. And then the stories start to leak out, like the Brian Daboll interview story that's out there right now, where he wasn't prepared for the interview. He was kind of despondent during the interview. There was another report that came out that during one of these interviews with one of the coaches, he had his earbuds in and was listening to music the whole time. Like, those aren't things that you want your starting quarterback to be doing. You want them to take this seriously, because you need to take it seriously if you're going to be a starting quarterback or a player in the NFL. And I guess it looked like from a lot of these reports and stories that have now come out, he just wasn't taking it seriously. And teams are like, I'm not risking my livelihood. Let's take Brian Daboll in that example. His last year, most likely, unless they turn this thing around, I'm not putting my livelihood on the line for a guy who's not bought in and is not all there in the pre-draft process. I'm not going to worry. I can't change this guy. I'm out. I'm going to take a guy that loves playing football. And then you see the video with him and Cam Ward. And that video, to me, is the most eye-opening of them all. Shador's talking about dancing and singing and all this kind of stuff, and Cam Ward's like, I'm just playing football, man. I'm just a football player. That's all I do. I play football. And Cam's like, or Shador's like, you got no hobbies? He's like, football, man. Like, and as a football guy, as a GM or a coach, that's the guy you want that's invested in football. You don't want a guy that's using football to benefit everything else. You want a guy that's truly in love with the sport. And over these last couple of days, it sure seems like perception that Shador Sanders was in love with being an NFL player, not in love with playing in the NFL.
It's fair. I think the other thing is that his biggest rise and his biggest fall were also his dad.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I know that Deion's not the one playing, but like, when you sell a, Pontiac Grand Prix as a Lexus and people know that it's not, it's just been painted and put an L on the hood.
Yeah.
It's not a Lexus. Like, you can say that it is, but in reality, it's not. And it's not like he came from Colorado with huge numbers. It's not like he came from a huge winning background. He came from a franchise, or I guess a collegiate team that was put back on the map.
Franchises now.
That put that team on the map because of the dad. The Heisman Trophy winner went second overall. And then you waited 3 days until your name got selected. And again, like we've all said, and like a lot of people's takes are today, okay, this is the downfall. Now build yourself back up and prove a bunch of people wrong, because now you have that opportunity. You went in the fifth round. It's not the end all. It's not like you were a UDFA.
No.
You weren't undrafted. You got drafted. Your brother was undrafted, but then got signed and then fired his dad.
And hired Rosenhaus.
He'll get you paid. And so, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you got talked up a lot and, truth came out. You showed your true colors, and now you've got to change your perception for everybody else. And let alone, the hardest thing is, you got to make it in the NFL. Not only do you have to win everybody over now and get away from that Deion shadow, which will be tough the rest of your life, no matter what, even if you want to believe it is or not. Now you've got to prove that, you know, everybody missed on you, and you got to make it in the NFL, and you've got to buck the trend that is the Cleveland Browns.
Right, exactly. There's a lot there. And then you throw in the Cleveland Brown thing to that as well.
And you built this bed. Now you have to sleep in it.
But Shador is the prime example of what I think every young professional athlete is. I've always won. I've always dominated. I've always had success. I've never really had to work hard because I could out-athlete you. Today begins when Shador Sanders has to start working to be a professional athlete. Is he going to be able to do that, right? Is he going to be able to put in that time, the want to put in that time, the hours that it takes to be great in professional sports? Some guys just don't want to do it. Some guys just can't do it because they're not used to doing it. And for 20-some years of their whole life, they just went out and out-athleted everybody or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then reality hits them, and they've got to work hard. It's not about – I think Shador's a good football player. Off the field, that's where the question marks obviously have been risen for this guy, because off the field, it clearly looks like he doesn't have it in order based on all those stories that came out.
Not only that, you want to know how tough it is to transition to the NFL. Go look at the Trevor Lawrence study. Guy didn't lose a game in like middle school or high school.
Yep.
What'd he lose? One game at Clemson?
I don't think he lost a game at Clemson, did he?
He never lost a Clemson either.
Never lost a game.
And then
he
got drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's like, hey, you're going to lose.
Right.
But you still got to get better, even though you've been the best quarterback since you were 7 years old.
Okay. Yep.
And it's been tough for Trevor Lawrence.
It's really been tough for Trevor
Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence was the complete opposite of Shador Sanders.
Right.
He was good. He was a starting quarterback. He was a national championship winner and everything there, and was quiet and humble, and then got to the league and got even more humbled without even being exalted. So, I mean, it's a
I mean, ask any tough Major League Baseball player, the first time they see that curveball break, bro, they're like, oh,
we're hoping we see this with MJ Melendez in the minors.
Right, like, you can get it back. And for Shador Sanders, he's got the opportunity now to create his own narrative the entire way. It's a blank slate for Shador. There's no pressure on him whatsoever. There's no bust that's going to be linked to him. Go out there and be a great NFL quarterback.
Not only that, if you missed it, Brandon Bean went absolutely nuts.
No, it was. It was. I was just listening the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very – how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about Josh Allen. You guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just – hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
Okay.
I'm glad that Veach likes us.
See, I wish Q would do that. Come on, go. Right, look, I've been listening to you guys. You're idiots.
Well, he tells us he will not be listening.
Yeah, that is true. But that's the GM of the Buffalo Bills going on their morning show on their flagship station this morning. Yeah, I was listening to it. You guys are whacked.
It was awesome. Good on the host, too, asking that question. You could tell he wanted to reboot, and he said, what do you think? What are you saying? That was good on the host, I thought.
I mean, who are we talking about wide receiver-wise that stand out? Khalil Shakir was pretty good, right?
He's not a number one, yeah.
Keon Coleman?
Just drafted him, yep. Yeah. Rookie year. No, the receivers, I think the hosts are correct. Brandon Bean can get all upset they want.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm looking at the depth chart.
Yeah,
Mac.
It's rough.
I'm looking at the depth chart, and I'm like, what am I missing?
Yeah, Matt Collins. okay.
He's not there anymore.
Oh, yeah, he's left. He's gone.
He went to New England, didn't he? The Jets or someplace in New England.
New England, yeah, that's it.
I mean, here's their depth chart. Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer, Khalil Shakir. Caden Prather, who doesn't have a number, who was drafted in the 7th round, is number 2 on the depth chart, by the way. Jalen Virgil. Curtis Samuel.
Okay, Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, you know Curtis Samuel because he's been in the league 100 years.
Forever.
Right? Yeah. And then your number three players on the depth chart, KJ Hamler, Terrell Shavers, LaVisca Chenault.
He's good. Whoa. I've always been a LaVisca. That's a guy I'll go to bat for. Yeah, he should have been a stud in Jacksonville.
Yeah. So those are your nine.
That's rough. Mm-hmm.
And those guys are saying, like, about the wide receivers. That's Brandon Bean knowing his wide receivers stink and him going all mad and getting defensive because they hit a nerve. Because they probably tried to do something wide receiver-wise. Just like the Royals tried to get Santander here this offseason, right? It didn't work out and it stinks, right? They probably tried to go after a wide receiver or draft a wide receiver. They didn't get the guy that they wanted. They're still bent about that, so the GM's going to take it out on the radio hosts.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, he had some takes he had to get off his chest, apparently.
I guess even GM's got hot takes. They want to spit fire takes on that one, man.
He's probably running routes in the parking lot of a football game, too. I got my gloves on.
I'd burn him.
What are you doing? Just loosening up my arm. Like that little kid in that Cam Newton commercial back in the day?
Yes.
We'll come back. We'll get to our brioche of the weekend here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Murray as well on a Monday. Looks like the sun's trying. You might mow today, actually, by
it's
the way.
It's efforting to get out right today. Now.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like my neighbor mowed 4:30 yesterday. Like
4:30.
Yep.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I'm saying for Mac, 4:30 on a Sunday is a bit much. But I think for Mac, like if he did it yesterday, it didn't rain overnight. So you should have another 12 hours of dryness underneath.
Looks
you,
like 50% chance of storms tomorrow. Storms all day Wednesday, 70% chance on Thursday. Then Friday, Saturday, the sun comes out.
See, they were calling for, like, bad storms today. Like, you're talking last week at one of the soccer games. Like, yeah, next Monday could be really bad. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. But now it looks like it's kind of dissipated and moved out or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, you could probably get out there. So, what I'm getting at, 4:30 yesterday, no rain since. You got plenty of dry grass. You can get out there and mow that thing. You're fine.
You can go home and nap it till about 2 o'clock, wake it up, 2:30.
Yeah, okay. Put a big fan out in your yard and dry it a little bit more.
Yeah, I've heard the leaf blower. Guy go around the leaf blower, get all the grass. I've seen that.
I love my leaf blower.
I know you do.
Leaf blowers are great. We use it all the time.
Yeah, and you do invest.
Everything, yeah.
Also, do either of you, I can ask this
I've used it in the house before, too. I just got so mad that the kids weren't clean. I just started leaf blowing inside the house. The amount of stuff that got picked up.
Like, okay, all right, geez. Do y'all have a saw I could borrow by chance?
Yeah, saw? What kind of saw?
I don't know. Like, I need to cut down.
Like trees? Or
no,
are you
like
talking about
a sized branch of a bush?
So you need a chainsaw?
Yes.
Yes, I've got a chainsaw.
Okay, I love
yes.
that.
I've
Thank
got
you,
two
Father.
Of them, actually.
Yes.
But I need to get some oil
you
for
You don't
the
need
one,
hedge
yeah.
trimmers? You need a saw?
I think I need a saw. I don't think trimmers are going to get this thick of a branch.
I was thinking like the little like hedge trimmer, not like the.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Weinbaum was using at the zoo.
Like, are you talking about a big, thick branch, or are you talking about a smaller branch?
Big, thick.
You probably need the chainsaw. Just, you know. But again, why are you doing a chainsaw on a tree on a property you rent?
Doing some yard work, baby.
Are you allowed to do that, first of all?
Yeah, I think so. Well,
yeah, I think so.
You better check with the owner. Fair enough. I'm going to take this tree down. Do you care?
It's a bush. It's an ugly.
You're
going to
drive by
yeah.
Mac's house. You look like Leatherface in his backyard.
I mean, like, you got to be careful with that rhetoric.
No,
you
got to
make sure
you're
can't just start ripping up bushes. You know, this guy's like, maybe my mother planted that, you know, when she was 12
yeah,
and passed
true.
Away. Like, it's always been her favorite. Mac just ripped it up. I don't blame you. I'm kind of that way, too. I don't care.
It's ugly. It's in the front. I'm just like, get out of here.
Yeah. So you better be careful about that. So ask your landlord first if that's something you should do. And if so, I'll get some
appreciate
oil for the chainsaw and you can have fun.
Thank you. Yes.
You guys have some meteorologists on the text line?
Oh, we do. Okay.
Yeah. They're still calling for storms tonight. Low chance of storms today, but if they happen, it'll likely be severe.
Oh.
So there you go. Okay. And then from True Green Thumb, you guys are killing me.
Yeah, I'm looking at the extended forecast. I just see some wind and a 10% chance at 4 a.m. for rain. So I'm not too worried about it.
Of course, it's going to storm on our way to work, as if it would never.
10% chance. We'll be fine. I'm not worried about it.
All right, brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
Mac, you want to get it started?
Oh, it's me? Okay, great.
Sure, why not?
I love it. somebody introduce Mac to Salzall? To Salzalls? I don't know what that
Better
is.
Better call Salzall.
Great show. Royals game Saturday night. It's the brioche of the weekend for me. The weather staved off, speaking of. Thought it could rain, but stayed pretty nice. It was good. Good temperature, about 60 degrees.
And you had zero troubles.
Zero troubles, zero bubbles, baby. Had a nice big surfside.
Good.
It was awesome. Won the game. Vinny had the home run. I think it's because I was there, obviously.
That's probably why.
No, it was cool. It was Hannah's first MLB game, first Royals game.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's cool. Did she get a certificate and everything? My first MLB game? She should have.
Were you guys on the kiss cam?
No, I tried. I was like, come on, yo.
How do you try?
It's like, hey, I want to be on the kiss cam.
Yeah, I got my arm around my girl. Let's go.
Can I ask this? And I'm going to be just a bitter man here for a second. Why do we get so excited over old people kissing?
It's awesome. Love is awesome. Still there.
Yeah. I just did that
ignited.
Saturday. That's so funny.
Because every kiss cam ends with some old couple.
Those
are minds. Like,
I love it.
I do too.
I love when the old man's in his like suspenders and she's got the floral hat on. He takes it off and just throws one
goes
on.
Goes in.
It.
Usually it's the woman who's more like, oh, no.
Even better.
You know? But yesterday, I think it was the gal who leaned in, the older lady.
Oh, no, nice. You know,
female human, however we're
Have you ever been on the kiss cam?
No. My wife is like mad. She's like, we need to be on the kiss cam. I go, I know. We would have a time on that kiss cam. That's probably why they don't put us up there.
Ew. I don't want to see, like, overdo it. Just, you know, nice.
No, I mean, you know, we'd have fun. But, I mean, every time it's like the old people. You're like, oh, yay. Helen and Mabel are kissing Tom and Tom. Yeah. Like old people don't have sex.
They might.
They might.
Some old people have more sex than young people.
Some
I just
want
to win, Jim.
Some of them go from oh no to oh yeah. Just ask Drew Nixon. My brioche of the weekend, I want to say, is the NBA playoffs, but it's paired with something else that's kind of funny. But the NBA playoffs were awesome this weekend.
They're great,
like,
man.
I was sending you play-by-play of the Clippers game, the way that ended against the Nuggets, because I knew you were at the game.
Royals game,
and Drew and I and you are in a group of like where we just get nerded out on NBA.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, 33-9 run to close out this game. Jokic throws up an air ball, and Gordon hits it with an alley-oop, basically, with the time running out. It was nuts.
Nuts.
The Knicks game yesterday was crazy how that ended against the Pistons. No call.
Yeah, NBA Detroit should add free throws.
NBA's better than the Knicks in it, man. Get them all the way, to the end, and then let them, you know, lose in dramatic fashion. I mean, Spike Lee was out there jumping into KAT's arms at the end of the game, like, fanboying it up.
He's a part of it, man.
It's better if they beat the Celtics. I know you're a Celtic fan, but it's better for the NBA.
I don't know.
It is. Of course it is. It's much better for the NBA. Does Boston have Spike Lee? No. I rest my case.
They got Bill Simmons.
Who cares about him, though? He's not big enough.
No,
My other brioche of the weekend, which I thought was funny because obviously the internet's undefeated. Shador Sanders tweeted, "Thank you, God," after he was drafted. He was then responded by KFC.
Oh, the KFC tweet is just brilliant. This is real then? Because it's great.
It's got the check mark next to KFC.
All right.
It says, "The Colonel was rejected 1,009 times before finally landing our famous original recipe. Sometimes all of Sanders needs is a little time to cook. Congrats, Shador."
Yeah, that was really good.
Real or not real. Yeah. Sometimes the Sanders just needs time to cook.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I'd like to give my brioche of the weekend to the kid who prank called everybody because I think it's hysterical. And all these holy rollers out here trying to act like he committed this crime. And, oh, my God, the people clutching their rosary beads on this one. My God, he's a college kid. Was it right? Probably. And a lot of it's in jest, obviously. But should he have done it? No. Does he deserve to get all of this flack? Does his dad deserve to be fired? Of course not. It was a bad mistake. Father can handle it with his son and will. But ultimately, my brioche of the weekend, Brett Veach and the Chiefs nailing this draft, man. From a positional standpoint, the players they got, from where they were ranked to what they were able to do, I'm excited to watch this Royals kid. I'm excited to watch that Smith kid play running back. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to watch Simmons dominate and get inducted to the Hall of Fame so we can play Binkley's comments over and over again that he hates this pick. At what point will Binkley say, all right, I was wrong on this one. It may happen. It may never happen. I don't know. But I just like the way that the draft played out for the Chiefs, man. I'm really excited to see some of these young kids get out there and play because they all have speed, and that is so key in developing this offense to where it needs to be.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't.
Nope. Pinkley on Shador Sanders?
I think he's going to be Cleveland Brown. They have two picks in the next four picks. So they pick the first pick in the second round and the fourth pick in the second round. So I think that it could be Shedeur Sanders there. And I think, 40th pick, he could go. I hope he picked tonight. I do believe. I mean, who knows? I do think the guy's talented. I think people were kind of worried about a lot of the other things that were involved, maybe too cocky, didn't interview well or whatever. Who cares? I just know the guy was sacked 152 times, didn't have a running game or an offensive line, and still was good. But not a lot of teams like the Browns. I think the Browns could get him in one of their top four picks here in the second round.
Top five rounds.
Top five rounds. Yeah. Yeah. Bigley thought he'd be the first pick on day two. Yep. I think we all
I was there with him.
Everybody was there. We all thought he'd be picked on Friday.
No doubt.
And then that
they
didn't
announced
happen.
Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
Let's see what those guys from 10 to 2 have to say about Bill Belichick's red flag, Shedeur Sanders slipping in the draft, and those Royals that are starting to play some ball again. And as always, on your Monday afternoon or your Monday evening, heck, do it on your Tuesday. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. Could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cody, Golden, Drew coming up next on 10 to 2.